for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. From different races, you get money, they started.
Should be on right now.
All right. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show. We are here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, home of the STA, the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders at Brian Piccolo Stadium. Tony, we're ready for a number one matchup. And what's going on? I'm the co-host, Kelsey Dudley. I'm here with the main man, Tony Sands. And we're at the county's top matchup between Flanagan High School and the STA, the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders.
It is the game of the week, and that's why the Tony Sands Show is here, Kelsey. We're looking at two powerful teams, two guys that are very, when it comes to the coaching, they know each other very well. They're very tight when they communicate off the field. I'm quite sure that added a lot to this matchup because they are friends. One's a defensive-minded guy. One is an offensive-minded guy. So this matchup is going to be well. But you got to understand, we're dealing. The elements have changed.
They have.
It was sunny and bright earlier today,
but all
now
day.
The weather has changed and it's a rainy day, surface, wet surface. When I look at wet surface and I look at this type of weather, I tend to give the advantage of a game to the defensive side of the ball for the simple fact, you know, you're dealing with the elements, your passing game has slowed down a lot. But when
right.
you look at this matchup, St. Thomas, when it comes to the running game,
uh-huh.
have, you know, a better running average than Flanagan. But Flanagan's defense has been known to slow opponents down. And what I mean slow opponents down, if we look at, you know, Flanagan's schedule throughout the, you know, the year, and you look at outside of their only loss was to South Plantation, which was a 13-12 loss.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I mean, they have outscored opponents a great deal. When I say outscored opponents, you got to look at, we look at Western, they beat them 42-0. You look at Miramar, they beat them 31-6. Look at Plantation, they beat them 35-0. They beat Everglades 47-7. They beat Cypress Bay 37-0. So they've outscored their opponents a great deal when it comes to this matchup.
And that puts them 10 points per game above St. Thomas's point output during their game. So you're talking about a team that can pretty much get out there and score with the best of the teams in the county. But then you're looking at a matchup here with these elements going down. And Tony, it's looking pretty wet out there. Now, they're not playing on a grass field, so you don't have to necessarily worry about the muddy conditions.
Correct.
Because it's a turf field. However, it is going to be slick on this particular night because the rain is, you know, has a steady drizzle to it. So the defense, they're able to react very quickly. You know, usually defense are, you know, go straight forward, attack, and the offenses are pretty much on a read and react type level of, you know, with trying to gauge the defense and see how things go. So I pretty much predict, Tony, at the beginning in this matchup, we may see two teams sparring back and forth, kind of like two top-ranked boxers that are trying to figure out each other.
Because it is a heavyweight bout. Here it is. The game really doesn't mean nothing far as playoff implications go. It doesn't mean anything far as their district, but it means everything when it comes to bragging rights between these two schools, between these two coaches. A lot of these kids come from out west where they play in the Pop Warners together. So
uh-huh.
this is what makes this matchup so significant. Normally in this type of game, this game wouldn't really have the significance that it had, but you look at a Flanagan team that is playing, that's 8-1, that's playing the way they're playing, and you look at St. Thomas, who's ranked nationwide, ranked number 22 in the nation. And Flanagan is ranked number 65 in the nation, fifth in the state of Florida.
Uh-huh.
St. Thomas is ranked 4 in the state of Florida. So when you look at this matchup and you think about this, it brings this to be the game of the week here in South Florida.
Yes, definitely. And you're talking about, Tony, when you say the game here in South Florida and the game of the week here, you're talking about some top-tier players that are going to be recruited or that are being recruited all around the nation in Devin Bush Jr. for
exactly.
Flanagan, who leads the top-ranked defense here in the county and the South Florida area. And then St. Thomas leaning on their running game with James Charles, who helps St. Thomas kind of get those wheels churning and are able to gain first downs.
But St. Thomas also have what they call a thunder and lightning type of attack. They have Kincaid, and they have James Charles. So when you have both of those guys at any point in time, you can switch up the matchup if you want somebody to dazzle you and change the direction fast. Then that's what you put in. You put in Kincaid. But if you want somebody to pound the rock and to pound it in there, which I'm quite sure Rodgers is going to want to do, you bring in James Charles, your pounder, your abuser. You beat him down, and then you hit him with the flash of Mr. Kincaid.
Definitely being a change of pace against that defense. And I think you're going to need both of them tonight, Tony. I would say, they're going to need both of them.
But, Kelsey, we also got to understand now, St. Thomas is without two of their key players. And we're going to see how that factor on both sides of the ball. When we look at the offensive side of the ball, you look at Jake Allen, who they've lost for the year, and you look at the defense side of the ball. Now, this is where I think this matchup gets kind of crazy because you lose a guy like Bosa.
Yeah, that is a dominant guy.
It hurts you all around for the simple fact that was your pass rush. You depended on that a great deal for your pass rush to get you going when it comes to this thing, man. And that's the key matchup that I think that everybody was scared of, because one thing about him, he kept going continuously. His motor never stopped running. But now here we in this game here, and you play a team like Flanagan, tough as they are, and you go to battle without some of your soldiers.
Yeah, and that's just like going into a war, and I'm missing some of my weapons, or I got less bullets in the gun.
It ain't like you got less bullets. When you talk about the defense side, you have
no bullets. So you're saying that, okay, you're saying that Bosa is such a significant loss to the St. Thomas defense that now they may have to lean on some people that are not usually used to stepping up in that particular leadership type role in this game.
That's why that defensive front, everybody now has got to play. Everybody's got to step up and play. Am I my brother's keeper? Everybody on that defense has got to rise to the occasion because one of their brothers have fallen. So they got to stand up and make sure that they are ready for a game like this with these elements. It's a rainy game, and it is parent night here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, where the parents tend to walk the guys out on the field. But I don't know if this weather is going to slow that down. Or I'm quite sure once it's settled, they're going to make sure that St. Thomas is going to make sure that they get that in. But now let's talk about it. And they also lose Jake Allen, their gunslinger. And they're in there now. They're playing with the younger guy. How does that affect the pass game? He played in the Ely game last week, and Ely's defense is not near as tough as this Flanagan's defense. So now, does this young guy get thrown to the fire fast and has to adjust and make changes? Or does this young man say, at this point, I'm going to rise to the occasion and get the job done and let them know that I can play this position?
And Tony, I'll tell you from this perspective, if I'm going to tell you from the X and O perspective here on this, if I'm offensive coordinator Ryan Snyder, okay, and Tony, I'm going into this game without my signal caller, my main guy that has been used to making the calls, used to going through situations. You played most of the tough games that St. Correct. Thomas has played and has kept the team, going through tough situations throughout the season.
Correct.
I'm not going to put much on my young guy's shoulders. Now, we said Ely wasn't a defense for him to get his feet wet.
What I'm saying, hold up. In this case, now, do you say, okay, I got a young quarterback in this situation. Do I just say, okay, you know what? My running backs, you guys got to step up, because now you're dealing with a downpour that's here at St. Thomas that's coming down. Do you say, okay, guess what? Now you linemen up front, we're going to depend on you guys more than we've ever depended on you, because now we got to get the running game to take that pass rush off the young guy so he don't get rattled early.
Yes, that's what I'm saying exactly. And that would have been, I mean, now, we don't know going into this game, Tony, because as we said, all day and all week, we have had good weather. So now going in, is Brian Snyder, the offensive coordinator, is he aware of the adjustments that he would have to make in this situation? And let's look at both sides here, saying Coach Devin Bush here, is he aware of his situation of the change of the element?
The strength of both sides, and you measure the strength. Like we said, the strength of Flanagan is their defense.
Is their defense.
The strength of St. Thomas is their offense. Now, do it boil down to the way those two play each other, that stalemate? Now it decides who out of Flanagan's offense and St. Thomas' defense. You say, okay, at this point now, one of you guys going to have to step to the occasion, because the two top things that people coming to see, the offense and the defense, are Flanagan and offense of St. Thomas, with those guys playing where they're playing. Do we say now we're going to find out if your defense, St. Thomas, and Flanagan's offense, which one can really, and I think that's what it's going to decide. Everybody's saying the two defenses, of this defense of Flanagan and offense of St. Thomas. I think it's going to come down to, and when you look at this weather,
right?
Also, the advantage, we got to find out, because there's three parts to a football game. There's offense, defense,
and special teams.
And when we look at special teams, I always say, when you look at St. Thomas, I give the advantage to St. Thomas when it comes to
Oh, yes. St. Thomas, going into this, St. Thomas has the advantage in the special teams area. Their kicker is one of the top kickers in the nation. So we know, let's put the check in the box in that area for St. Thomas. Now, on the other side, with Flanagan's offense, Tony, and I said this earlier, let's look at Flanagan's quarterback. He's a mobile guy, senior kid.
Correct.
Very athletic. Has made a lot of plays for Flanagan during the season.
Correct.
Actually, the one loss that Flanagan has had to South Plantation High School, Tony, the quarterback was injured that particular week, so he didn't play in that game. That was the one loss that Flanagan suffered. So now I'm looking at this kid to be the X factor in a game where we said that, okay, if St. Thomas's offense against Flanagan's defense is going to be kind of a wash there, and now we're looking at Flanagan's offense against St. Thomas's defense.
It's going to be, like I said,
who's going to make the plays in that particular matchup?
And if I'm looking at that, and I'm saying to myself, okay, in this case, St. Thomas, defensive line, I'm going to give that advantage to St. Thomas defensive line. I think these guys are going to say, okay, you know what? We want to make sure that everybody understands that we are just not a Bosa front. We're going to set the tone now. And I'm quite sure their defensive coaches has been emphasizing
have been all week. All week, yes.
When our soldiers
definitely
are down, but we're going to let everybody know that we are not out. And that's the difference. We're going to head to a commercial break after we come back from this commercial break. And we're going to play, we leaving out, guys. We're going to see who got the best of both worlds. Jay-Z, we're going to play that. And we're going to come back for a commercial break in about 3 minutes. And on the other side, also joining us tonight will be Ryan Bartow of 24/7 Sports. That's right, I said it. 24/7 Sports will be joining the Tony Sands Show. And we're going to break down the playoff brackets here on the Tony Sands Show on the next half hour of the show. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Take us away with that Jay-Z best of both worlds.
It's here. Rockland, Rockefeller collaboration. Tone the rap for best of both worlds.
Welcome to the best of both worlds.
R. Kelly. This is stuff running on the right way.
Come on, Jay.
I pull up with the big boy truck. Big boy drop. We be the only big boys that the big boys watch. Sing to them, Kelly.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We're live on set at St. Thomas Aquinas High School with the matchup of St. Thomas and Flanagan Falcons here on this Friday night. Great night for football, despite the rain and the weather, which the rain is starting to clear out because it understands that this game has got to be played with beautiful weather. Because parents, it is parents' night here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
And fans, I mean, Tony, you know, our fans out there know that this is Florida weather. What it does
it
is the rain sweeps in, and then it changes all of a sudden, and it sweeps out everything.
When I lived in Kansas, and that was one thing that happened, man, that weather changed on you so fast, you didn't know what was hitting you. So you kind of tend to always prepare for all elements, and that's what St. Thomas, the beautiful thing about St. Thomas Aquinas High School, they prepare for all elements of the ball game. Now, let's get back into this game, because when I look at both of these teams, they're going to get ready to embark on playoffs. And when they get in this playoff bracket, both of them are in, you know, different brackets of the playoffs. So that's why we said earlier that this game really has no significant meanings when it comes to playoff implication, but it has more emphasis on,
because the kids know each other.
Yeah, bragging rights, and they have built this game up to what it is, because this is one of those tough games that St. Thomas, when they you know, in their schedule, they met Booker T, they met Deerfield. Miramar was not so much of a tough game as it used to be for St. Thomas Aquinas High School. I think the toughest matchup, when you look at it, was Hollandale, Deerfield, and Flanagan. And when we look at that schedule of St. Thomas, then you go back and you look at Flanagan's schedule. Flanagan played a Coconut Creek, you know, and I'm looking at Miramar, which I said wasn't that good for him.
Right.
And then you come down and you look down the stretch, and now you get into the latter part, the first part of October, and they play Deerfield, which both teams play Deerfield. And they got to, one thing about it now, they got to meet Deerfield. Flanagan would have to meet Deerfield in the playoffs, and Deerfield's playing right now. They're to me, to appear to be peaking at the right time.
At the right time with that type of team, another type of defensive team. Okay, so, you know, when you look down the road and you see that particular matchup, you're talking about another defensive matchup there.
Correct.
Well, that would be defense against defense. It looks as though that game will probably be played at Flanagan because Flanagan is the higher seed.
Correct.
In that particular situation.
Correct.
But, again, you have Flanagan in the 8A class. You got St. Thomas in the 7A class, just a class below. But, again, two teams that are going to have to battle – throughout the playoffs, it won't be a clear sale for either team. And then you have to look at outside of these teams facing each other, there's other teams out there that that look and feel that they can play with these two teams, Tony.
But now when we look at this matchup and we look down the line, there could be a matchup of St. Thomas meeting up with their old coach, Coach Rocco Casula.
Yes.
That could be a possibility.
And a coach that knows them very well. And with him knowing them very well, now you're talking about later in the playoffs, you know, this is definitely an obstacle that we didn't foresee down the line.
And you got to see that matchup because that matchup has got to – it's going to be important for bragging rights when it comes down to that game because you know if Rocco get an opportunity, he's going to be – you know, he's going to – what he's going to be buying his kids up there. Hey, we got an opportunity to play these guys again, so you guys got to be ready. We want you to be ready because I want to set a precedence, but I don't know how strong his team will even be able to do something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And with the way the playoffs set up, if these two teams can stay on track and they can continue winning, then they will meet up. Now, I mean, I don't know where it would be, but
we kind of going far ahead, but I don't see it as playing out in that fashion at all because I don't think they're gonna make it out of the bracket. And I don't if they meet the St. Thomas, I don't think they're ready at this stage in the game for a powerhouse team like St. Thomas, and that's why St. Thomas is still what we consider ranked number 22 in the nation.
Because definitely.
Everybody know the potential that they have here over at the school.
I know, and one thing we can say about looking at the playoffs and looking at the brackets and understanding both of these teams, like we said, this is not a game that factors into anything, bothering the playoff contentions of either team. However, by playing this game and knowing that St. Thomas is coming in with a couple of injuries, a couple of players missing, do you kind of pull back, Tony, in this game, or do you say, hey, we're here?
But do both of them decide, you know what, do both coaches say, the game really doesn't mean anything to
right.
us? Right now, I want to save my players for the playoffs. I want to get in a lot of the younger guys, let them get in, let them play, because it doesn't mean anything. I would rather be ready for the playoffs than to come out here and try to make a statement, and all of a sudden I lose a guy. Erring on the side of caution, I think I pull back, especially when you look at Roger, a guy that has had the injury bug to attack his team.
Right.
Do he play err on the side of caution, or do he say we just played his
football? Well, now, Tony, you got to look at this now. I mean, and this goes across all sports. We look at this a lot of times at the NFL level, and you have teams that clinch and everything early. So then they're looking at the last week. You're looking at should I rest my players, should I not? Okay, and we've seen many a times in football that teams get that rest period.
Yep.
They end up coming out lax that first playoff game, and they're not sharp,
I think a team with the experience of a St. Thomas, regardless of how that go, I don't think they lay down. I don't think they lay down at all when it comes to this at all.
I think they
stand up and they play this game
right.
like it's supposed to be played. We're joined here on the Tony Sands Show with our main man, Mr. Playboy himself, Michael Irvin, joins the Tony Sands Show. Let's break it down.
Do you have me turned on?
Yeah, you turned on, bro.
You sure I'm turned on?
We got that.
You turned on.
We got the A. H-O-F-er here.
You got the H-O-F-er in the building.
Hey, man, I'm saying what's up to all the guys right now as they leave here by all the Raiders because they know this is what it's about. Let's play, baby. Let's play today. Let's ball. You know what I mean? It's so great, man, to be in a high school atmosphere. There is no high school atmosphere like they create over here at St. Thomas. It really isn't, man. It's a great atmosphere to be in. Game time, getting ready to play a big game. It's just an amazing feeling.
But, Michael, let's break this down. Now, let's look at it. We've been talking about this matchup all along. Me and Kelsey been breaking it down. And when you look at Rainey Elements, what do you done played, you know, you're a Hall of Famer. When you look at a situation where a field is Rainey Elements, what do you team to lean?
Well, usually, this helps the offensive team because you know where you're going. You know where you're going. Defense has to react. A reaction means, I don't know where I'm going. I'm reacting to something. So it gives me more, I'm more prone foot to slip out, to slip, make mistakes, or fall. Since I know where I'm going, I know how to direct my steps. So any advantage, I always felt this belongs, something like this belongs to the offensive side.
Opposite side of the ball. And in this case, like I say, St. Thomas coach Roger Harrod has a bruiser. He has James Charles that he could put in if he want to pound it, and he has Kincaid if he want to slash. I'm going to pound you, and then I'm going to give you a quick jab with Kincaid.
Right, right, right. I could pound, and then Kincaid, I love the way that kid runs, and he has such great balance. He can be very effective on here. He knows where he's cutting, and with Correct. Those kind of cut skills, Correct. And a guy's trying to cut with him, who doesn't know and just reacting, his feet can be slipping out and a lot of things can be happening there.
And that's why, you know, when I look at a game like this, and as a running back, you tend to not want to either I'm going to go inside and I'm going to change my traction shoes,
right.
or I got to make sure that I'm going straight ahead. I can't right. do a lot of dancing on this field. Everything has got to be on the way St. Thomas Field is set. I got to go east and west. Normally we would say north and south because the majority of the fields
right.
tend to go north and south, but we're going to go east and west. So I got to put one foot in the ground and take
and go forward
in that direction.
And Michael, now we did say that, I mean, we're talking about the strength of Flanagan going up against the strength of St. Thomas. And looking at the stats on the two teams, it's St. Thomas's rushing game going up against Flanagan's stout defense. Against the elements here. And it's been, you know, coming down here pretty much, and we're going to be playing with a wet field. So knowing that going in, do you see anything changing your feel for saying, okay, well, I tend to lean to the the offense here as having the advantage?
No, what I tell most of the guys, I still lean to the offense as having an advantage because you understand the direction in your cut. It's always, if I'm understanding the direction of my cut,
exactly.
then all I have to do
exactly.
is make sure I have more ground contact and not slip. So usually I'm cutting on a steeper angle to come out of a cut. I may adjust that angle so I can have more ground contact, more of my cleat, more
exactly.
of my base cleat on the ground, as opposed to when I'm making a cut and only the heel or only the ball of my foot is on the ground. So now I'm adjusting to put longer cleats in, or I'm adjusting my way of cutting because I got to make assessments on the field. The defense can't make that decision. They don't have that kind of time to associate and situate the situation. So they just have to react. That's what gives offense an advantage.
We're live here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School, live on set. You can call us, chime in on this. The Playmaker has joined the Tony Sands Show. You can call us at 888-888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. The Playmaker is giving you his why he is a H-O-F-er in the game and who he see this game in the advantage going to. But, Mike, I want to get into a lot more of what I'm saying far as advantage. Then, you know, they're without Mr. Bosa. He's gone for the year. Now, if I'm a defensive coach all week, what do you tell your defensive guy?
Well, that hurts, y'all.
And we said that earlier. Oh, that was one of the things we did lean on.
Oh, that hurts, that knee, man. That hurts, man. His knee. Is that bad?
No.
That's what I'm saying. When you look at Bosa, you look at
his knee. Was that
much,
bad? What did they say was wrong with his knee? Because I didn't.
He's out for the year.
He's out for
ACL sprain.
No.
No, he has to have surgery.
ACL?
Yeah.
He tore his ACL.
Yes. He has to have surgery.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he has to have certain.
Man, oh, God.
And then you
without
your, and then you go in, and this is where, with a young quarterback. Now, let's go on the opposite side.
Oh, it's a whole
different
game without young
coaches. Yeah, man. Now, but if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm telling the rest of my guys, listen, I understand one of our guys are down.
Yeah.
We got to all come together now to let everybody know that we are just not a one-man defensive unit.
And that's how that's what you tell. Listen, as a coach, I tell the whole group that as a group to make sure they're all on the same page. But I'm going to tell you what else I do. I pull aside a few of the dudes on that defense that have been yearning for that top star spot.
Correct. Right.
And I'll tell them, it's open. Bowles is down. Mm-hmm. And he had the top star spot.
Correct.
It's open now.
Correct.
Are you man enough to go get it? Because here is the game. I need you to go get it. You want people talking about you like they talk about Bowles, and you get every opportunity to go to any school you want. Right now, the defense need that star. Are you man enough to go take it? That's what I got to pull a couple guys aside that's been yearning for that spot and tell them, it's your time. The win that you hear whispering by your ears, it's just God saying, go get it right now.
Let's go to the opposite side of the ball now. St. Thomas is also without their quarterback Jake Allen.
Right.
For the year, he's gone also with the back.
Which
with back
is wild,
injuries.
Man.
And
I just can't believe the kind of things I'm going through this season,
yeah,
man.
I mean,
on all levels, it's been quite a season. I lose all my guys here at the high school level. Y'all know what the University of Miami going through. And then the Cowboys going through all these same kind of injuries.
Same injuries. Same.
It's been a hell of a year for the old playmaker.
But now you talk about the Cowboys. Let's talk about the Cowboys. Bennett, you brought the Cowboys up. Outside the Lions did a thing, with.
Well, them boy Flanagan looked serious over
there.
Yeah,
they do.
I mean, they
look at me. But he said he was going to be ready to go. Now, he was supposed to come on the show, and I understood why he wanted to back out. Yeah, he said, guess what, guys? That's going to be a little too far for me to drive on that side of town. But I know he's saying in the back of his mind, listen, I got a game I got to prepare for. Even though this game has no significant meaning when it comes to playoff, I want to make sure that when I come out there at St. Thomas, because he know that we are St. Thomas guys.
Right.
I want to make sure that y'all haven't distracted me by taking me out of my game.
You got to understand. He tried to get his squad ready. And he's saying no association, because we're in a different time now. Kids all associate through social media.
Right, right.
They talk noise. So you want to say, hey, man, we ain't playing with these guys. They ain't no friend of ours. I don't care if you do see them when you're hanging out. Not this day. So in order to send that message, you have to set that message. So I understand that.
And that's what, like I told when he called, I said, Coach, I understand clearly on what you're saying. Totally, I understand it, respect it. Hey, bro, listen, we're going to get you on playoffs because guess what? He's got to possibly face Deerfield down the line. Both of them are in the same district. Deerfield will play this week. Deerfield plays Plantation. He plays in this first round. He plays Piper. And the way those roundup look like, those two
they
teams
will be facing
up
off
again.
They will be
now
facing off.
Now you talk about the strength of Deerfield's team is their offense, and you talk about the strength of Flanagan is their defense.
Oh.
Now, but one thing I said this year that I haven't seen a lot of inner city teams have, Mike, is the special teams, the special team game. And
it
I watched
it's going to be pivotal in the playoffs.
Deerfield has that. We got a chance to watch that. They have a kicker that I don't see too many inner city schools have. They do have that kicker.
That's true too, and that's how they beat St. Thomas with those two field goal kicks. You know, we watched when we were playing Harlandale. That's what hurt Harlandale.
Yes.
So you see some teams, and that's what blows my mind. It's been going on for years and years and years, not
Correct.
Developing the kicking game at the high school level, and I'm blown away. I'm blown away with that it's gone on this long.
Correct.
That team, more teams don't develop that. Go find you a kicker.
And the majority of those schools have great soccer programs.
Right. That's what's
Hollandale has a great soccer program.
That's what's amazing. It's just a matter of paying attention to the details and getting it done.
Deerfield kicker came on the show, the week after they played. They came to Tilt the Kilt, and they came, and I interviewed them. And one thing, I said, well, how did you come about, how was you discovered? He said, I was out there playing soccer one day. And I was kicking the soccer ball through the field goal, through the uprights.
Right.
He said, and the coach came and told him, son, if you can kick that soccer ball like that through there, I'm going to go. He went in the locker room, put a football out there. And from there, He's been kicking for Deer Field right now.
And they doing Deer well.
Deer Field saying, Mike, what St. Thomas used to say, if I get across that 50,
I got me some points.
Yeah, I got me some
I'm
points.
Good.
I got me some points.
I heard that. You know, I was in
and
the barbershop.
That's huge, man. That's huge. You know, at this level, at this game, at this level, if you can do that, only because every team's not doing it, it gives you an advantage. Like I don't know what. You know, some of the teams we played this year, they went for two every time because
Correct.
They couldn't really even kick an extra
they couldn't
point.
Get it in.
Like, are you joking? An extra point, and that really puts you in a bind. Somebody gets seven, you get six. Somebody gets seven, you get six.
But Mike,
you know,
chasing points.
Now, tell me this now.
Points.
Also in this, you know, like I say, sometimes with the passing attack, this weather tends to slow down. But it also opens up the height game to me because it's not some long of a pass that I stop back and drop it off. And that's where I see some of the advantage in this game going to St. Thomas because I think Flanagan's going to come out aggressive.
Mm. Oh, they're going to be very aggressive. I think Flanagan passes the eye test here.
Right. And if they come out very aggressive trying to attack the young quarterback.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Felicio trying to come after him. What's good about this situation, if you can hit guys quickly, and they since they catch ball, you know where they're going, they can make one cut. You can get a lot of guys slipping down. They can be house calls. Those are the things we talk about in these situations. If a guy's coming out too aggressive, and if I can get that ball, it's your choice. Get it out early. If you can get it out early, I mean, I get it in my hands and make one cut. He's going to react. He may slip and fall, and I can house this call.
And it makes those linebackers, they got to read. They got to pay. Stay home now. They got to play.
I mean, that's why, right? If you can get a good run game going,
right? Yeah.
And then you start playing off play action.
Exactly.
It'll be killer.
Now, I mean,
they got to jump up if the run game is going.
And Mike, now the offensive coordinator Ryan Snyder for St. Thomas. Now we were saying throughout the week. These were not the elements up until a couple of hours before prep for the game. All week it's been good weather,
right.
and it's been, you know, sunny skies. But now, is he able to adjust?
He's played here. In this situation
right.
before. Now, he played in a rain situation down at Hollandale.
Uh-huh.
And the team still stayed focused. They still stayed the course. And they was able to pull that game right. out. So I'm quite sure as a guy such as him that has coached as long as he has, he's understand that these elements may come up.
Uh-huh.
And that, hey, listen, it's just like no other. I got to still stick to my game plan. I may tweak it a little bit, but I'm going to stick majorly to that game plan.
Yeah, and he should. But just having that young quarterback, does that open the gate for – more turnovers by a young quarterback.
Yeah, we're going in line now, guys.
We're going in line now
to walk out with the family.
It is senior day here at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. As I told you, we was joined here on the show by the playmaker, Mr. H.O.F. himself, Mr. Michael Irvin, joined the playmaker show. On the back end of this commercial, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play Lil Wayne, Mr. Carter, because
Mr. Carter
himself is coming to the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Mr. 24/7 CBS Sports guy, Mr. Ryan Bartow is coming to the Tony Sands Show. Let's play the card, and we're coming back on the back end of it, and we're playing.
L. Jordan, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that. Like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Joining the show, you heard earlier, the playmaker joined the Tony Sands Show. Now we're joined by our insider, Mr. Ryan Bartow, Mr. 24/7 Sports himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that is doing his thing, Mr. Ryan Bartow. That's why they say 24/7. Guess what? There's no sleep. 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. My man is on his job. That's why I call him Mr. Carter. Ryan, welcome to the Tony Sands Show, bro.
Hey, in paradise. Plus, you get to be in a place where we're going to see 34, 35 D1 guys in
wow.
one game tonight.
One game.
Two programs that started the year ranked in the top 10 in the country.
Correct. Correct.
Obviously, St. Thomas has two of their top players out tonight, so they're down to 23 D1 guys.
Correct.
Flanagan's got over 10. They got a couple force guys I really like. Stanford Samuels, we just saw his dad over here play Sante. DB for the Seminoles. And Devin Bush, who I think is one of the best linebackers in the country.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at Michigan. He'll be at Auburn for an official visit next weekend. He was just at where his dad played, Florida State, on Halloween for his first official visit.
Wow.
Right now, Florida State leads the Crystal Ball because of those connections, but everybody down here thinks he's going to Michigan.
But now, Ryan, now, you say everybody thinks. Now, what if, I'm just saying what if, I'm throwing what ifs out. What if Crystal Ball gets the job at the University of Miami? Do you think he's the guy that can come in and persuade this young man to head south instead of north?
Well, he's an early enrollee. It's going to be hotter for that.
Well, he got to Crystal Ball, they got to hurry him higher than me.
Well, I'll tell you this. Maybe not in, yeah, remember, maybe not in that instance, but the guys down at American Heritage that play for Mike Rump, Brian Burns, Nick Eubanks, who offered him second, Mario Cristobal, Brandon Johnson, whose parents went to Miami. The kids at Miami Central, Jamel Cook, Keir Thomas, I think he can get back in the game for Amon Richards that was a Miami commit from Palm Beach.
Yes.
And all the 2017 guys already have a rapport with Mario.
If
I'll tell you this much. He's the guy that gives you the best chance to recruit South Florida for the next 3 years because he knows all the kids. All the high school coaches are going to help him out. On Monday on 24/7 Sports, I'm releasing a free national story of all the results from all the high school coaches on who they think should be the next guy at UM.
And you heard it here on the Tony Sands Show.
Awesome.
Mr. Rain Bartow is releasing his stats on who high school coaches want here in South Florida, and they is – Ryan, we talked about that earlier.
What I want to know is
which ones.
Who does the playmaker want?
Well, you know,
Good question, Ryan.
Gonna always go on the political side
yeah.
of it because he's gonna say whatever's in the best interest of the University of Miami. But he did say it has to be a guy that understands. He said that here on the show, Kelsey. When we brought him on. It's got to be a you guy. It's got to be a guy that understands the University of Miami culture. That's got to be by far the number one thing he says. It's got to be a guy that understands the University of Miami culture. So when we look at that and we start breaking that down from there, okay, now we got Butch Davis, guy that's a you guy from the standpoint of coaching at the University of Miami, understands the South Florida culture. Mario Cristobal, a guy that is a true you guy, played for the U, understands this culture, still is recruiting this culture, and everybody loves him. That's another you guy.
Right.
When you start looking at that, you kind of break it down to two people. And if it's a two-man race to me, I look at the race being more toward Mario Cristobal for the simple fact, if Mario, and I said it in the barbershop, if Mario was to go into someone's home, okay, Butch Davis, and nothing against Coach Butch Davis, because I love him to death. I had an opportunity to be around him. When you go into his household, and all of a sudden, you're talking to a parent, and the parent say, "Hi, you know, I'm Butch Davis." The parent may understand a little bit of the history of what went on. That's if you are a football type of person. But when you say, "Hey, I'm Mario Cristobal. I just left the University of Alabama with Nick Saban." It rings a bell to you. You are more relevant in this time. And I think that's what's on top of some of the allegations that happened at North Carolina. I think those are the things that is going against.
Yeah, and he's 64.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time he's in year five, you're 69, 70, and you're looking for
70 years old.
Yeah, you're looking for another coach by that time.
And everybody right now, if you look at the landscape of coaching, everybody's going young. Everybody want a young guy that can get these guys energetic, get them ready to go. And you want that because you want guys that's going to respect that.
Well, look at this, too. Who's ranked number one and number two in the country right now? Clemson with Dabo Sweeney, Ohio State
young
with
guy.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Young, energetic recruiters that both were never coordinators.
Exactly.
Remember that.
Right.
Exactly.
And Tony, let me say this with – and Ryan, you can answer me on this or fill me in on this. A dark horse, Tony. A dark horse that we're leaving out, and I've heard reports this week that guess what? This guy has gone and made an attempt to reach out to Jimmy Johnson, and this is also
he's not a U guy,
but he's been reaching out for every job, not just Miami.
But
So you think he won't be a dark horse?
He won't be a dark horse in this race to me. He's not a dark horse. When I look at guys, and this is what I think, you know, when guys get out of the coaching business and they get into the broadcast business, it starts separating you from the coaching game. It starts separating you from the recruiting game.
Yes, right.
You got to have some type, when you go into these kids' house, when you're on Twitter, you got to figure, how much is a 70-year-old guy going to be on Twitter tweeting a recruit? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You got to be able to sell your program. How are you going to be able to sell, be enthusiastic when you go to a kid's house? Greg Schiano was great in his time. When you look at those guys, the only guy that's still in the game right now that's doing it and understanding, because not only that, he's coaching up under Nick Saban, a guy that understands. You don't think he's going to take something from Nick Saban and come back here to South Florida?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's going to take a lot of it. Plus, he knows all the kids down here, all the high school coaches down here, and all the families down here. He grew up in the 305. Exactly. He played there. It's a destination job for him. Plus, he would take less money on top to pay his staff more, which you have to do at Miami.
And then when you look at these other guys, you know, how much are they going to be willing? You know, they're talking about guys like Charlie Strong. These guys are not going to be willing to take
the paper. No, definitely not.
You look at Butch Davis. Okay, Butch, I understand you're trying to get it, but when I say elements of coaching, and then to him, he gets a pay raise because his pay is going to jump up from what it is at Alabama. And only the reason why he's not made, everybody saying, well, Butch is, you know, everybody's lobbying for it. But first of all, I said, because he can't. He's under contract, and that's one of Nick Saban's pet peeves.
Yeah.
That you do not do any interviewing when you are under contract with Nick Saban.
Yeah, and I think Coach Saban as well as Coach Johnson are going to help Mario.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to think, he makes a call. When you're talking about a guy like Nick Saban, he go to making a call. And I know people are saying, well, he's not well. Nick Saban is not well liked down here, but it has nothing to do with the University of Miami. Yeah. That has all to do with the Miami.
When you get a
Dolphins.
Call from him saying, "Hey, that should be your guy. He's ready for this." That carries huge weight.
Yeah, that carries a lot.
And the only one that would carry more weight is if you get a call from the Keys from the Godfather.
But I'm quite sure at some point, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm quite sure at some point.
In the next 3 weeks,
Mario Cristobal, I just feel it, is going to start contacting the guys that he know have great influence on the University of Miami.
On not only the athletic director, Blake James, who, I mean, obviously he likes Rob Chudzinski because they were at Miami together. But also your decision makers in this. And that's the top four or five board of trustees.
Yeah.
I got a pet peeve in this situation when it comes to University of Miami. I think they need a guy that not looking to make this a stepping stone in their career or to add this as a notch in their belt. And when I look at those, that again lead me more toward Mario Cristobal.
It makes way too much sense.
Yesterday, I was on the Bill King show on national radio, and he's like, who's the guy that can keep talent here? Don't look at the facilities. Don't look at the home crowd attendance.
Correct.
Who's the guy that can keep the kids from Broward and Dade here? Because if you do, then you can take on the world.
Yeah.
He's the one guy
that will be able to do that definitely. And
right away.
Relationship-wise and family-wise.
Let's get into the playoffs. Let's get a little bit into this playoffs before we go out there. We're here on the pregame show from 6 to 7 live at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. We're joined by Mr. 24/7 Sports himself, Mr. Ryan Bartow, the guy that gives us the information, as we said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That covers a whole lot. Magnitude of things.
Let's get into
Flanagan's bracket of the playoffs.
Yeah. Now, I think for Flanagan to get to Orlando, it's going to come down to Miami, Columbus, or South Dade. That semifinal game, can they win at that night? Probably I'm leaning more towards Miami, Columbus, which is going to be a showdown because they got as many dudes as Flanagan does. For St. Thomas, they're going to have to do that semifinal that they played 2 years ago against Dwyer.
Yes.
That's going to be the matchup.
Yeah.
Now, Dwyer's a little bit healthier right now. Maybe got a nice young D1 junior quarterback, got a D1 receiver committed to Florida. That's going to be the matchup for those two teams. It's going to come down to that semifinal game. Can you win on that night to get to Orlando?
And
that might even be actually the state title game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And St. Thomas may have to travel up there, huh, Ryan?
I always think that for South Florida because the best ball's down here, best coaches, best dudes down here, and they're playing for second place in North Florida.
Let's get a little bit more. Now, Flanagan also, now we forget that Dimple is in this, in, in this fitness bracket now.
Who's awesome. They're loaded too, and they got the dog in them, and they got, I watched them last Friday, and they're balanced on each side. They're loaded for years to come. Don't count them out at all. That's going to be big on big.
Being on that end, and being, and I go get my hair cut by my son who keeps me freshed up. Max Payne keep me freshed up, keep me blacked up, keep me looking young.
Yeah.
But now in the barbershop, everybody's saying, listen, Dillip's situation is all or nothing. They're saying either we make it to the state championship or it's a bust season.
Yes.
That's the way they
Which
feel
they like. Which they should. They have that mentality. The 2 4-star receivers, Kevin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're loaded at defensive back.
Yeah.
They only have one loss this year. They got the huge win over St. Thomas. They're feeling good. They're feeling confident. They have balance on both sides of the football. So that's going to be a showdown.
And they said if they felt like this, if they wouldn't had the same mentality that they played St. Thomas against Jacksonville Bulls, they feel right now they will be ranked high in the nation at this point.
Yeah, because they would be undefeated. So they would definitely be undefeated.
Plus, the two guys I mentioned, they were transfers, and they're starting to really mesh with the rest of the team.
Exactly. Now I'm seeing, like I said, that team is peaking at the right time that you need to be peaking. That's what I've been telling people. They're gelling. In the beginning, I think it took some time because when you're adding so many pieces from all over the county and you add them together, take you a little time to gel.
Yes.
And right now, when you should be gelling in
perfect
November
time.
Is the perfect time that you want. November decides the state championship. And people in that area are already saying in Dillip, they've already reserved their hotel rooms.
Yeah. Oh, they should. They're probably feeling great about that. Hey, you almost got me talked into it. I got the Flanagan Columbus game, and I'm like,
but that's
shoot.
That's what I'm saying. They've already reserved their hotel room.
Yeah. They're really good, man.
He likes it.
Good. I'm moonwalking back a little on that.
They got one thing about that community. And see, that's one of the rare schools, I think, when you look at schools throughout Broward County.
Yeah.
Those kids are true community kids. Those kids don't leave that school.
Yeah, for a public school program. For a public school program.
When they say Buck Pride, they say Buck Pride, and they mean it.
Yes.
And you got a chance to see just how loyal they are when they came to the Tony Sands Show. They bought a bus of kids. They bought the whole team. Those guys came out and enjoyed that night with us. So that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, they're here to stay, too. When I went there, I talked to about 20 kids. It wasn't 2 or 3. They're loaded for years to come.
They got the young running back, GG, who's a guy, young, thin guy. Once he put on some size and some weight, this kid is going to be awesome.
But they
got
defensive linemen, too. They got size. But most of all, they have that dog mentality that you only find in South Florida.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's get into this matchup. And we talked about it a little earlier, this Flanagan, St. Thomas matchup. Now, St. Thomas is without Bosa. How big do you think that? How much do you think that play into a factor into this game?
Well, I think he's as good a DN as you're going to find in the country. I think he's the Brock Lesnar of high school football. I think he's a sure bet to be an instant impact guy in college. You have to game plan around him.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden he's not there. But I think the bigger loss, honestly, is not having the QB because there's a bigger drop there. So you have to be more creative offensively. I think you're going to see some wildcat with Sam Bruce. I think they're going to try to run the ball more because you got 2 D1 tailbacks.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And you're going to have to get the ball out and get it to your 4 stud receivers quicker. So, I mean, some people are going to say, shoot, they're hurting, but, I mean, they still got 23 D1 guys. They're not hurting for talent. You just lose it at your number one best player and the most important position.
Yeah.
But now, Ryan's been kind of dinged up, in the last couple of games. Do he play, and how much is a factor that having him back kind of helped them and helped the young quarterback also?
Yeah, because you've got to lean on him for sure. The thing I hope for tonight is they let this game be what it should be and let all their stud players. I know they're both looking big long-term.
Right, right.
But that would suck if you see a lot of these guys not playing after the second quarter.
But now you got to be – Roger had him behind the cage. I was standing in front of the cage, and Roger had that look like, hey, listen, this is a football game, and we're going to play that. The fans are here to see a football game, and we're not going to hold back on it.
Yeah, and you got the rainy weather conditions here. But
exactly.
Going in, the over-under is 28, and I'm taking the under. I think this is a 14-7 kind of game. Flanagan's really good on defense. St. Thomas is good on defense. I expect this to be a low-scoring ball game.
And that's what, because like I said, it's a key matchup, like we said earlier, right. show Flanagan's defense against St. Thomas' offense, and how fast can the young quarterback adjust to the speed of this defense?
Oh, this is the best. You never see this on a Friday night where there's four D1 secondary guys for Flanagan. Stanford right. Samuels is the best Stanford junior Samuels. Cornerback in the state of Florida.
Exactly.
Fayon Hicks has five offers. Both safeties are going to Michigan. And we know the four receivers for St. Thomas are all D1. That's the best wide receiving core you're going to find in the country. So that's big on big right there.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, does Flanagan put St. Thomas into a situation here knowing that, okay, our strength is our defense. We're playing in a wet situation. We got a young quarterback. Does Coach Devin Bush say, look, let's go ahead and release our dog?
All day.
Man up and release our dog.
My number one D1 defenders up against your D1 wide receivers. And where's that matchup?
That's the only way he would do that if he was playing against the dang college team. These guys, I mean, Devin Bush and Bootsy, they grew up in Dade County. That's the only way they know how to
right.
play. They both played for Florida State, but they are 305 guys to the bone.
So they
are
going to
be
run.
4-3 come at you, Jimmy Johnson defense.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you go man up on these guys. You're forgetting now, St. Thomas have a what I call a thunder and lightning punch. How much that affects that, though?
Yeah.
Because once you, now as a defensive back, you're playing man, your back's turned. That you use all elements of what's behind you, and all of a sudden you got one of them big horses coming behind you. It can get real scary for
you. Plus with the young QB, I mean, Glitch is committed to Utah. James Charles is committed to FAU. They're D1 backs for a reason. They both had Pitt offers.
Right.
You got to lean on those guys.
Yeah,
and then you use your passing game off that.
And that's we'll dive here on the Tony Sands Show live on set at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. You're listening to my main man, Ryan Bartow, as we break down this St. Thomas matchup.
Big time matchup.
We're in the closing hours.
I can't wait.
Closing minutes of the show. And as I tell you, let's go ahead. Let's break this thing down. Let's
give me
call
your
it
pick.
What it is.
Give me
let's
your pick.
Get it. This is the pick hour of this show.
Okay.
Let's get into the Ryan. Okay. As we said, what we said, St. Thomas defense, offense against Flanagan's defense, and we've talked about Bosa not playing, Jake Allen's not playing. Give me your pick on this game.
Well, 2 weeks ago I said the spread was 2.5.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm gonna say St. Thomas 14, Flanagan 7.
Wow.
And look for the punt return game to be a factor.
Wow, we said special teams. And he's looking to say that.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Special teams is going to play big here. So
this will be a four-quarter ball game to the end.
Easy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah, because now.
But the slippery field plays into this point spread in it? Because the field is wet.
But it goes both ways. They both got speed. But at the same time, I think with the young QB, they're not going to be throwing as much. But we haven't talked about the flip matchup. We've only talked about the strength of both sides.
But who do you get?
There we go.
Okay, let's start breaking it down.
Let's go into that.
Secondary. If we look at the secondaries of both teams, who do you get an advantage to?
I give the advantage to Flanagan secondary just because we're not sure if St. Thomas is going to be able to get those receivers the ball or not.
Okay, let's break down receivers. Who you give the advantage to on that?
Yeah, well, obviously St. Thomas has the best receiving core in the country.
Let's look at the running back position. Yeah. If you was breaking down the running back position, what do you advantage lead at the running back
position? St. Thomas has two D1 tailbacks. So what the advantages Flanagan has is probably a better, more complete defense, a better secondary. Both are loaded secondaries, and they have the advantage at QB. Don't forget about Cato Nelson. He's committed
Correct.
To Akron.
Correct.
Yes. He's really good 7-on-7. Now it's his time to show his high school moment. Can he lead his team and make the right plays? And keep an eye on a guy that I love, a junior slot receiver for Flanagan named Cleavon Thomas. Everybody comes in looking at Sam Bruce, who's one of the top slot receivers in the country. Cleavon Thomas is outstanding. His dad played at Florida State.
And you can hear in the background, fellas, people, listeners, you can hear the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders
are
getting ready.
It's getting crunk around here.
This is going to be a matchup.
It's getting crunk around here, baby.
It's leading his troops to battle. They're holding hand in hand. They're holding each other hands. When you see teams that hold each other hands, that tell me one thing. I am my brother's keeper.
Unity. Unity. Unity.
Yes. Unity at its best.
Yeah, nothing better than high school football on Friday nights, especially in talent heaven.
Oh, man. Let's get into this American Heritage bracket and the playoff that they Because I'm hoping to see them in Hollandale square off again.
Yep.
And even though they're going to square off again, I hope that Hollandale have found some type of special teams game, because it killed them in the matchup of them at St. Thomas.
They haven't done it. I've talked to their coach and some of their people over there. They've moved. They actually taken their receiver, Chris Cato, yeah, and they've moved him to kicker. And he's the kicker, and he's doing kickoff and things for him.
You cannot find a kicker on your soccer team. You got one of a top county soccer team, and you don't go out and understand that, okay, St. Thomas beat me because I didn't have one. I am going to invest all my means necessary. I'm going to tell my coaches, you must go and find me a kicker. I don't care what you do.
I agree. You need it.
I was at that game last week with it was loaded. Georgia had two coaches there. Corey Raymond from LSU was there.
LSU, yeah.
A guy that we've been talking about a lot was there, named Mario Cristobal, that I think took a picture with every person in the crowd there and was begged by the community to please come back.
That's the one thing I've been saying about the guy. That's the one thing I've been saying about Mario Cristobal.
He'll get out.
Listen, he'll get out. Understand, when the University of Miami was winning and they was in their heyday and the Orange Bowl was down there, the Orange Bowl was filled with Spanish. It was the Latinos that took over the Orange Bowl. Yeah. Who better than him to bring that back to?
It was Little Havana. It was right in the middle of Little Havana.
Who's better to bring it back to the Utah?
So on Monday at the Tilted Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the Tony Sand Show, we're going to have the top 100 reasons why Mario Cristobal should get to Miami. No huddle, no mercy. Me and my Cuban coffee, I'll wheel them off.
Okay, we're going through them. You hear that, man?
We are going to break this thing down. Hey, listen, Ryan Bartow said there's 100 reasons why Mario should get it. Now, people are, you know, when I go up there, especially in that matchup, some people came to me and said, well, you know, I got called. Why shouldn't? Which James, why? They wanted to call me, hey, listen, we want you to get involved in this rally. Downtown, by the U.S. I said, listen, bro, listen. And I, as the conversation kept going on and going on and going on, I kind of persuaded him to my view. And you called me with one side of the view, but I persuaded you to my
what
view.
It should really
I was in the barbershop,
be.
And I did that to one of the barbers at my son, where my son worked at.
Yeah.
He came in and said, listen, now, Tony, I heard you on the radio. Why, you know, Butch is the guy. And I said, listen, bro, you got a son. I'm going to be training your son pretty soon. You got a son. Tell me this. If Butch come in your home and say, hey, son, hey, sir, I'm Butch Davis. You remember in the heyday when we was winning the University of Miami? That was me. Or if Mario Cristobal come in your house and say, hey, son, I'm Mario Cristobal. I took FIU to nothing and made him something. Now I'm at the University of Alabama winning national championships under Nick Saban.
National Recruiter of the Year.
National Recruiter of the Year.
I grew up where you grew up. The things you went through, I did the same thing.
He had to stop cutting the dude in half. The dude laid back in the chair with his head up. By this time, he said, you know what? I kind of like what you're saying.
Hey, rings talk. Rings talk. Listen, championships rings talk.
He will bring, and when you're talking about bringing back the fan base back to the University of Miami, now you're talking about, now guess what? There's funding there to pay for the coaches that we need.
Coaching staff.
And that's what I think is missing in the whole element, especially when you go to, you tear down the Orange Bowl, there's no feeling of a home stadium.
Of a home, yeah.
The Dolphin Stadium, and it's not filled. It makes it look, you know, dead. A kid, when I came out, listen, and I knew the difference. When my first game at University of Kansas, it wasn't that full, but when we went on the road, and all of a sudden we in Jordan Hare, we playing Auburn, and I look up over the hedges and I see 100,000 breathing on me. Listen.
Makes a big difference,
I go back in the locker room, right? I go back in the locker room.
Get oxygen.
I'm like, man, I was in there, South Florida. I ain't never felt this time. I'm trying to breathe. I'm like, man, what is going on? The guy said, listen, you went out there. And boy, you saw a lot of Auburn Tigers. And they, listen, that's when they had the days of Trace Soraka and all them guys. Listen, I'm telling you. It's nothing like seeing the Dolphin Stadium filled up. And I think the guy, I just said, I think the guy that can bring that fanfare back, because it is a Latino fanfare, I think he's the only guy.
And this might be number 32 on my top 100 that's going to debut on the Tony Sand Show in 72 hours. But he can bring a staff of South Florida recruiters, guys like Juwan Sider, Eddie Grant, T. Martin, some of the best in the country at their staff that want to live in Paradise, want to recruit South Florida kids.
Right.
Now, my thing is, now, I had Mike Rump on my show, and I asked Mike Rump, I said, listen now, I know you love American heritage, but if the opportunity comes up for a guy of your talent to go to the University of Miami, what would you do? And your first thing he said, now, you know, I love American heritage, but I ain't going to never say never. So when he said that, the opportunity for him to possibly, if called upon, to go to the University of Miami.
That window is open. That window is open.
Plus, not only would you have a guy that played in the NFL and played on the best college team ever, maybe he can bring his 11 four-star guys.
Hold on. You know, if he, listen, those guys live and die by this.
Yes.
You know, if he goes to the University of Miami, and it, to me, it's no secret that he was at American Heritage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that he probably haven't talked to him behind closed doors, because it was people saying that they saw him off in the corner speaking now. I don't know what they were speaking about. They might have been speaking about lunch.
That was killing two birds with one stone.
Remember who was the guy that recruited Mike Rump from Boynton Beach to the University of Miami? Some guy named Mario Cristobal. That was number 27 on my top 100. It'll come out in 72 hours on the Tony.
We can't give him everything. Now, let's not give him everything.
I just give him a little
night.
Taste.
We'll give him a little juice. You heard it here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking about teasing you on why Mario Cristobal should be the next University of Miami coach. But let's, you
major
know,
program.
Now let's head north, because you know there's some things happening. Now another name that's being mentioned, you know, as a, now when I say a dark horse, now Kessler, here go a dark horse.
Let's see, what's that?
Mark Richt. He's having the circus is kind of shaky in Georgia now.
I mean, obviously the stuff going on there with your arrests on Wednesday, they've been struggling, losing football games. They're not putting up points offensively. You see all the reports of the D coordinator not getting along
people. Correct.
Mark's been there 15 years. He's been consistent 9, 10, sometimes 11-game winner. But maybe after 15 years, that thing has kind of run its pace where we could see that potentially opening. And if it does, one, I think Mark's he's made $40 million there. He's probably not going to coach again. I think he's going to get into his mission work, because he has other interests besides college football. The two names I'm hearing for Georgia is Kirby Smart and Charlie Strong.
I don't see him.
Wow. I don't know, Ryan. Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
I don't see it at all.
I'm just sharing what contacts are telling me. One, Kirby's he's from Georgia, one of the top D coordinators in the country. He recruits Georgia. His dad's a high school coach in Georgia.
But like I say, to bring a guy like Charlie Strong in, he takes a pay cut, right?
The first time I heard that, the second time I heard that, and the third time I've heard that in the last day, my reply was the same as yours.
Yeah, he's taking a pay cut. You're talking about a guy that makes...
Plus, if he's not being able to...
Big pay cut.
If he's not being able to get it done at a similar gold mine job, what makes him think that he's going to be able to get it done at this
one? Now, the only downside that I'm saying to him coming to the University of Miami would be that he would have to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Now, we got to remember...
They both won.
But now we got to remember... He was the same guy that had Florida winning those national championships.
Florida
can
State.
He recruit?
Yeah.
I think he can recruit. He did it with Louisville.
He's going to have to work a lot harder. Right now at Georgia, you kind of pick whoever you want in state, and his assistants do a lot. Down here, you're fighting the world to keep these kids here, because everybody recruits down here.
And Texas, Texas is big.
Yeah.
Texas is a big state. You get your own kids in the Florida, Miami. But even here, though, to me, if you win Palm Beach County on down, you win the recruiting battle.
Plus, the seconds and thirds down here, the three-star guys, are better than the first almost anywhere else.
Yeah.
You don't even have to get them all. You just got to get your share.
Can you imagine a three-star kid here was to move to a place like Kansas, and all of a sudden, he kills that division. I saw one of their five-star guys come in. I saw a five-star Kansas recruit come in when I was at Kansas. They brought in this guy named Dwayne Chandler. They said he was five-star. He was about 6'2". He was everything, Tony. And it was like, okay, Tony, you better be careful. A five-star guy coming in. Man, this guy came in. They had to move him to tight end.
Let me put it in perspective. The places they send me on the road every spring and every fall, Southern California, Metro Dallas, South Florida, Central Florida, the Carolinas, Virginia Beach up to Jersey.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to those places? Beyond their nice places? That's where the dudes are
at.
That's where
the best D1 guys per capita are at. Those are the hotbeds.
But I say that. Guys, we're going to come back here on the top of the hour. We're going to continue to talk with our main man, Ryan Bartow, breaking this thing down. We're going to go back to playing because we are in, well, the boast of Earth Worlds. We're going to play that Jay-Z. We're coming back in about 4 minutes, and we're going to continue with Ryan Bartow and let you know why the state of Florida is the best of both worlds for a coach and recruits here on the Tony Sands Show. The best of both worlds.
Yo, Jordan F, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that, like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. It's game time, folks, here, so we're going to close out the Tony Sands Show. Me, Kelsey, Ryan Bartow. Ryan, listen, as we stated, we talked about the advantages and the disadvantages in this game, who could possibly win and who can't. But now, let's talk about, like you said, so many Division I guys in this game. Will this game, and I tend to, when you see this game here, a game like this, it tend to be a dark horse of a player that stands up in this game versus all the big time 4- and 5-star guys that are in this game.
Yeah.
Is there any kid that's in this game that you would consider could be a dark horse?
Well, for Flanagan, I love their junior receiver, Cleavon Thomas. He's got 3 offers, including Michigan right now. If they can get him in space, he can go. He's a legit 4-4 guy. Dad played at Florida State, so he's really good. Keep an eye on him. Now, for St. Thomas, a guy that's going to have his hands full is a cornerback committed to, I just saw his dad walking by, Dante Carrier-Williams.
Yes.
He played at Booker T last year. He's a Cincinnati commit. They're going to match him up, and we'll see how he can pull off this. And weather's going to be a factor. It's coming down pretty hard now. The ball's going to be slippery. So, again, ball security is going to be important. The kicking game's going to be important. Take the under on this one, I'm telling you. Go for the under.
This will be a defensive matchup.
Yeah, most of all, I have already went on record to let everybody know my score prediction. Uh-huh. You guys are on deck. I'd both like to get a prediction and a score from both of you.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and go and tell you.
No, let me go first. You finish it off with the final finale there.
Give us the final prediction.
All right. I look at with us matching up the defense of Flanagan against the offense of St. Thomas and the weather. I think that those two, and like Ryan said, the quarterback situation for St. Thomas, a young quarterback, maybe going to be asked a lot, Tony, and you're looking at these kids know each other. Uh-huh. So I can feel the energy in this game.
Correct.
Does he try to do too much? I feel he may try to do too much, but again, in the end, I'm kind of along the lines with Ryan here. I got St. Thomas 10-7 over Flanagan by a field goal. By a field goal.
You're saying the special teams that I've been
talking about. Special teams will make the difference. Low scoring game, 10-7, St. Thomas.
Now, I've looked at it and broke it down like this. I looked at, when it comes to special teams, I'm going to give that advantage to St. Thomas. When it comes to the defense, I'll give that advantage to Flanagan.
Yep.
When it comes to the offense, I'm going to lean more still toward the running game of St. Thomas because I'm a running back, and I love that. But now, this is my key matchup. Because when you think about football, it's a game of chess.
Right.
I'm looking at my two coaches.
Uh-huh.
This is where I'm saying this is where my pick is also being laid on.
Both who know each other now.
Both know each other. They're real very good friends. But one has won a state championship and one hasn't.
Uh-huh.
One has been in playoffs time after time. Understands this magnitude of a game like this because he's been in them. He's taken a team from nothing and made them something, so he understands the value of big games like this. And then not only that, he reminds me of a Steve Smith. He's a little man with a chip on his shoulder. So with that being said, uh-huh, I'm giving St. Thomas the advantage 14-9.
Wow, 14-9.
A lot of similar scores here. But guess what? On all three, the under hit.
Good call there, Ryan. Good call. You were right about that.
Hey, listen, good calls now here on the Tony Sands Show, because me, Kelsey, and Ryan, we got to go watch some football. We've talked about it.
I can't
now,
wait.
Guess what? We got to go and be about it. We're going to break this game down from the sideline and see what happens. Join us here on the Tony Sands Show on Monday night at Tilt the Kilt as we bring more exciting high school players. My main man Ryan will join us. Hey, 24/7 sports, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's giving you that insight. Ryan, let the people know where they can go if they want to read some of your stories.
Hop on 247sports.com. I'm the National College Football Recruiting Insider, and I got scooped beyond South Florida. I know we put an emphasis because I stay down here, but I'm only here 8 of the 12 months.
8 of the 12 months.
I leave Thursday to go through 32 schools in California.
Wow.
Paradise QB heaven. See some of the best talent out there. It's my second favorite territory. So, I mean, we take this thing nationwide. And if you need an inside scoop in terms of where these recruits are going, where are these coaches going, who's going to be next in the world of college football, we bring all that and more. Just the other day, we were the 10th most visited site in the country for sports, and we're only 5 years in at 24/7 Sports.
Wow. 24/7 Sports, you got it here on the Tony Sands Show. That's why he joins the Tony Sands Show each and every week, because guess what? If I want the inside, I can't go to no one else. There's a lot of perpetrator, but there is one.
There is only
real
one
dude that is on the ground throughout the nation that knows it nationally, and that's what we want here on the Tony Show Sands Show. I don't want it only in South Florida, but I want the scoop on the national landscape.
Yes.
You know why? Because when National Signing Day comes, I want to go beyond the
South
state
Florida.
Of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We want to dig into Texas, big state. I want to be able to dig into California.
California.
And my main man, as I told you, 24/7 Sports, Ryan Bartow, is bringing it to you. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to close out. Join us Monday night, 6 to 8 at Tilt to Kilt on the Tony Sands Show.